and welcome. It's Conscious Living on Power Radio. I'm Wendy. Thank you for following along, tuning in, finding me, whatever your story happens to be. I'm glad you're here. And today we're going to check out, I found this wonderful blog and it happens to be attached to a person. Conveniently. And I don't remember if I found the blog first or if I found her on Chase, on Facebook. I can't, it's been a while, but Cheryl Knobloch is on my list of friends. And I just saw that she had the newest book that she put out is Yes, I Knit Sweaters for Squirrels. And that was like, okay, this is this is perfect. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi.
How many squirrels?
Well, it's I knit blankets for them. And it started with, I have a family of three that live outside my house in a tree. Uh-huh. And it started with my daughter. She actually put the idea in my head because she was taking her son to elementary school. And she had seen a squirrel try desperately to drag a child's lost hat up the tree to his nest, a woolen cap.
Yeah.
So I said, I knit. I wonder, if they'd like the blankets for the nest. So I started making little blankets. The first day I put them out, they would just come up, very warily and say, like, what is this, The next day they would sniff around. The third day it was like Black Friday, at the chain store door. They were grabbing them. So it's very hard to catch them. I was lucky enough, I would sit there with my camera for quite a long time because they're very quick. They catch it. They fold it in their mouths. It's like you would be folding laundry. They fold it very nicely in their mouth, and they run up the tree and put it in the nest. And it's been just something, I feed them. So they're kind of used to me, I guess. They know this is a safe spot. So this winter's been pretty cold here, and I think it's helped them. They've lined their nest with it, and it started out as just something that I said on a whim, let's try it, and then it developed into the book. Yes, I knit blankets for squirrels.
And it really is the pictures. You also do artwork, and so you've got several books. A lot of them are animal books, and that's you,
right.
Animal communicator. You probably had a good idea when you were working with these squirrels, who might be a little bit more friendly than the others. Did that help?
Well, they're very territorial, and they don't like when other squirrels try to come and take their blankets or their food. So I have this family that stays here, and they've really singled it out as their home, their blankets, their tree. So I knit for them. And coming spring, I anticipate making a little lighter weight wool, baby weight for their little, I'm waiting to be a grandma to these squirrels. And I'll knit little baby blankets for them.
Oh, this is just hilarious. It's so fun. I mean, it was when I saw the picture, the little picture of the guy that you've got on the front page there.
Yeah.
He's definitely a charmer.
Just an endearing face. I mean, I was late yesterday. I was late putting out the food because we always early in the morning. I put out, peanuts, seeds, whatever I have. They get a lot of treats too. But I was late, and it was late morning. I opened the door. It was like a scene from Oliver. One of them was like begging with his hands up like, gee, it's late. There's no food out here. Can I please have some? And I said, gee, no one would believe how they actually come up and beg at the door with their little paws up like, can I have some more, please, now, Cheryl?
Yeah. We've got this now. We want to be on a schedule. Well, you've got some good reviews. I was checking Amazon to see, you got the customer reviews they're just delighted. So obviously this is a crowd pleaser for children of all ages.
Well, they have their morning. They actually have a routine. They have their morning. They have their afternoon snack. And then before it gets too dark, they'll get some more, food. So they have a routine.
Uh-huh.
They know when the food is coming, and I can see when I open my door, they're waiting up there. They're all watching me.
You're going to be in trouble when you go on vacation.
Oh, no, I have that covered. My daughter will take care of it.
I was thinking, because when you get back, they are going to give you what for.
I know.
And they might even do it with a stand-in. We know this isn't Cheryl. This is not her.
No, I'll have everything. They'll be set.
No. Well, okay. So now you have other pets too. I thought you didn't. Yes. Didn't you have a dog?
I have dogs. I have birds. I have a pet mouse.
Oh,
every,
okay.
My pets range from a giant Irish wolfhound to a teeny tiny mouse. So it's a.
No. So I was that was what I was thinking because the dogs. How does the dog tolerate the squirrels?
Oh well. They have their own, I feed them in a patch where the dogs don't go. But, I mean, I have one dog that, I think he would lick them to death. He's like Clara okay. Barton. He's yes. very gentle. And the others, you know, I don't know if they were in close contact what would happen. But when they eat, they have private dining area. They don't have to worry about anything.
Okay, good. Well, no. I know, I do have my, she's part German Shepherd. She did capture a squirrel, a baby squirrel, and almost, I mean, it wasn't even a squirrel. It was a ground squirrel, the little chipmunk. And yeah. He was cold when I picked him up. And I thought, oh, darn, I'm too late. And so I held him for a little while mm-hmm. and just kept him, you know, just kind of gently rubbing his tummy and his head yeah. and just kind of breathing, you know, warm air to kind of let him know. And so, of course, if I were a little tiny rodent like that and a big giant breathed on me, I don't mm-hmm. know how in retrospect I would take that, but fortunately.
Well, I used to have a little Pomeranian. He's passed now, but uh-huh. one morning it was very early. It was still dark out and I was asleep in bed and he came up and nuzzled his little head by the edge of the bed. I put my hand down. And at first I thought he had a stick, something in his mouth. And then, you know, half asleep, I said, this doesn't feel right. This feels squishy.
Uh-huh.
So I jumped out of bed, put the light on. He had brought me up a mole from the yard. He
oh,
dug up.
A
and
mole.
I was touching the little squishy parts of his mouth. Well,
yes.
I screamed.
Yes.
He used to like catching them in the yard. He brought me another one, brought it into my dining room. He was the only one that used to catch things and bring it in. He was a tiny Pomeranian.
Yes, and I've got a little dog who he wouldn't lick the squirrel. The squirrel would be toast. As a matter of fact,
yeah.
he goes crazy. This one, when she brought it to me, I was able to revive it. At one point, what the little ground squirrel did was he opened one eye to look at me to see if I was friend or foe. And that was just incredible in itself because he had been really, really cold and I wasn't yeah. sure that, you know, that he was already gone. But then that one eye opened, he looked at me and he stayed stock still.
Yeah.
And then within a few seconds later, he decided to open up both eyes very mm-hmm. carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And decided.
Oh,
that
I know
they
do. They do look at you with those eyes with a knowing. I've had them look at me that way. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So once we figured out that I was trying to help and then I put him in a safe spot and he recovered and he stayed around the house with his family later.
Oh.
It was just one of those things where she played with him. And she had been licking him like he was her new best buddy.
Uh-huh.
And fortunately there were no teeth involved and that was it. Now my little dog I have that's adversarial. It's okay. You run. I'll chase you. If I catch you, look out.
Well, I have chipmunks out there eating with the squirrels. I have little voles out there eating with the squirrels. I have all assortment of birds out there. They all join together and eat together.
Now, with your little mouse, you have a mouse. Does a mouse travel or does it stay? I mean, some people, there are some people I've met, they've handed me their pet rat they carry in their pocket.
Oh, yeah. My father-in-law had a rat that he carried in his pocket. But this little mouse, no, this little mouse stays in his little
domicile.
Cage. Yeah. He's quite spoiled and quite happy, believe me.
Are you a pet communicator?
Yes.
What do you have for when people come to you for consultation or advice? What is the most common thing people want to know about their pets?
Oh, everyone who's ever euthanized the pet always has that sense of guilt. Did I do the right thing? Do they forgive me? And I tell them honestly, they harbor they're very forgiving. There's no unkindness in their heart. They don't blame you for doing it. They just want you to be at peace with what you've done to make them be at peace. So that's mainly the most pressing question I get asked is, do they blame me for what I did? And never, no.
And I think that, I mean, given the emotions that go with that, that fear of the person who's in that position, for the most part, trying to do the best thing they possibly right. can. I see on the website, I went ahead, it's for anybody who is listening and wants to follow along, SKNOBLOCH88 WordPress. Okay, that's the WordPress. And this, when you've got everything, you were at an event with ghosts and working. Mm-hmm. You also work as a medium. When you're doing this with people and they're wanting to know about their loved ones, mm-hmm. do you have people who feel like they're already in contact before they connect with you?
Everybody has the ability. Everybody has ability to reach to the other realms of existence. Some are more attuned to it than others. Some block it in some way because of fear. You know, when we're little, we all have the ability. Little children see things. The imaginary friends, you know, that you always hear about. So we all have that ability. It's just that, it's just like being an artist. Everybody can make a picture. Sometimes mm-hmm. a picture, sometimes you make a stick figure. Sometimes it's a little bit better for drawing. Everybody has different ability, different levels that they can do these things. But everyone, I mean, you don't have to go to a medium to talk to loved ones. You can just talk to them. They're listening. There's times when you feel more closely connected to them. Sometimes you might be times in your life when you're going through a crisis or a hurt, and you're hurting inside, and you can feel them closely around you, and they are. So you don't have to go to a medium. Everyone has that gift. It's just that some are gifted more than others and can more easily do it. And it's just like any other profession. I write about all the time, be careful, because it's a profession that there are those that aren't so... that you can be taken advantage of. Be careful of, and just like any profession, there are ones that are good in it and ones that aren't so good. So when people are grieving, they're at their most vulnerable, and you can be taken advantage of. So you have to go to someone with your heart and your mind. Be careful. A lot of times you go to someone and you can supply them with the information, and you think they're telling you things where you've really supplied it all to them. Now, my sessions are different. I don't meet people personally. I do my sessions totally through the internet. I never sit across from you. I never look at your face to see expressions, because you can get a lot of information just from looking at someone's face. I only ask the person's name, and if they want to send me a photo for me to focus on, it's not necessary, but it's a nice thing to have. That's the only thing I ask of anyone, just the name and a face if they want to send it to me. I don't ask any questions about how they died, who they were, only the name. So if you're sitting across from a medium, you can just be careful about how much information you give to them. Make sure that you're not telling them things inadvertently that they can, you know... Some people are very gifted in a way of picking up information and building upon that. There are very good mediums, and there are very bad people that take advantage. And I always say, just like any other thing, do your research. Just like you would be wanting to get a good construction worker for your house, look at a medium's references. Look at who they've gone to. See if you can get reviews about them before you spend your money. And don't think you have to spend thousands of dollars. I don't charge a lot. I don't believe in that.
And that's one of the red flags for me, is that, you know, when somebody's doing a something, doing a reading and then charging several hundred dollars, it's like, okay, you know, then I really do want to see testimonials. Yeah. I want to see a little bit more about it. Right. The thing that I know in terms of doing readings is that if you if you're going to read a person, you really don't want information. That way, you know, it's genuine. And usually right. somebody who's doing a reading will supply or give right. you and say, is this accurate? Right. Does this fit? Right. Does this make sense? Does this apply to you? Right. They may ask you questions. They're not asking you to give them a full blown answer. They're just asking for a little bit of, okay, am I picking up on this? And then, they go from there.
I always feel uncomfortable if a friend comes to me and wants me to do a reading, because I might pick up something and a message that I might know something about anyway. And it's hard. I don't want them to think that it's because I knew that. You understand
right.
what I'm saying? So that's,
oh yeah,
mm-hmm. that's uncomfortable for me.
Well, and you on your website, you do have some testimonials, and one person I'll just real quickly was saying that they just sent a name and a picture, and you were able to describe with details, you know, filled in the blanks. And that's basically what you should be looking for in somebody who's doing a reading, is somebody who works with a blank slate.
Mm-hmm.
You're working also. So you've got several books, and the book that deals with that, I wanted to, you know, do a
My
few more books to the Returning Ones.
Yes. It's called The Returning Ones, A Medium's Memoirs. And it covers my work as a medium in Gettysburg, where I own a farmhouse, and all through my travels. I've traveled to haunted sites around Europe. And it just tells some personal stories, experiences that I've had.
When you live in the haunted house, did you know it was haunted before you moved in?
Well, I went to look at several places when we were looking for homes, and I liked historic homes. I went to several, you know, when I walk into a place, I could tell if the energy in it is going to be good or something that's dark. I went to look at a home before I purchased this one that had been a Civil War hospital. And when I went in there, I could tell the energy there was very, very dark and wanted to draw me in to that house.
Yeah.
And that when I went into the house that we purchased, it is a historic farmhouse, but the energy there was very different. It was very, very nice energy, very peaceful energy. I didn't tell the person that I was buying the house from the work I did. He had no idea. He happened to mention things that happened in the house, you know, that he would be asleep, be coming down to breakfast, and there would be the smell of bacon, coffee, the smell of tobacco pipe would waft through the rooms. His experiences were all benevolent, just like uh-huh. mostly mine have been too. So it's a very, very peaceful energy. People think haunted house, oh gee, blood dripping down the walls, screams. It isn't that. It's just knowing that this presence is there. Sometimes they like to make themselves known. They do a lot of mischievous things, pranks around the house, things that say, whoa, you know, when you least expect it. It's usually when you least expect it, and you walk into a room and you say, gee, you know, that drawer is wide open. That door is wide open. That wasn't there. I've had all kinds of strange things happening, but they're not things that you'd have to be afraid of.
Well, and that's what there are some people, especially now, people are more open, they're more receptive, they're more alert and aware. At least that's my experience, is people are beginning to get a little bit more comfortable talking about it and realizing that they right. do have their own abilities. And so when you went into the other house, and when you were saying a hospital, I've been in those kinds of places,
yeah.
and that's a very different kind of energy. What kind of person could live just out of, you know, since we're on that topic, what kind of person could live in that environment and not be, and be a little bit more buffered?
I don't see how it could not adversely affect you, you know, to be constantly in that environment. I really don't. I couldn't be in that. I know it would weigh me down, suck me in, or, you know, affect me in some way. I knew that the energy there was, I mean, it was a hospital where I don't know how many hundreds of limbs were amputated. Fellows
yeah.
died. They were buried on the property, later moved, but who knows what's still buried there, body parts.
It, right.
Even the grounds were very dark. And I said, no, you just have to, like, realize that even though I could sense that this, whatever was in that house, I believe it was more of a, I don't know if you believe in the elementals of the earth, the energy, but I think the the earth sort of absorbed all that pain, all that terror. And there was something in that ground and in the walls of that house that just remained there. And I said, no, even though I think it wanted me. When I went in, they said, this one, we can use this one, you know.
Right.
I got that feeling and I said, no.
Yeah. Well, they could talk to you. They knew that you were aware, and that I think that makes an impact as well. I was going to say, there is a place I know of that has in the last, gosh, since maybe 2010, I have seen this property on the market at least 4 times. And I had been in it when it was an antique shop. And the deal is, there was a old school doctor who set up shop in the basement. And that whatever happened at that point, this house, they aren't able to, the people who have tried to have several businesses, one was a photography studio that I know of, and the couple of them that I knew of were antique stores. The very first one, the people would come into the store and they would see a little boy at when they were trying to check out, and usually the children would see these other presences, and they tried to do a they did a shamanic circle. They tried to do several things to make it go away, and nothing has been successful. So places like that are often difficult to calm down and to, you know, be in full time. She quit because her daughter was a teenager and things were happening. Plus, as an antique store, every time you get something out and everything calms down, then you bring something new in and it upsets the apple cart.
Well, after my home, after the Civil War and after the family had lived there, my home became an antique shop. So I know there's tons of residual energy from whatever's been in that house.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's just a compilation of everything that through the years. I mean, every place is haunted. Every house has energy. Just at the older the house, I mean, the generations of people that have been in there. And I think spirits visit each home because of the loved ones inside that home. So every home has energies, whether they're grounded there or whether they're just visiting, even new homes. I mean, the land itself that a new home can be built on harbors that energy. It's just that my home happens to be in a quite a extraordinary place.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. You don't publicize it because this is, again, a home.
Right. I've had people ask me if I would open it up to ghost investigations, and I don't want to do that. I like the energy there. I don't want to open the door to bring anything in there that I don't want. People might bring in things themselves that are attached to them, and it's my house. I'm very private about where it is. I don't want that publicly known.
Well, and I think that's part of the issue that some people aren't aware of, that they carry their own energy, and sometimes that's, you know, can be just as disruptive as what's already there.
Sometimes human energy is more disruptive to me than spirit energy. I mean, I do aura readings on people, and sometimes what's attached to them is more something negative that can be put on me. I've had that experience before.
Yeah. See, that I think we'll have to take a break. I want to go back and pick up on that too, because there's a lot of stuff now happening where people are experiencing hauntings or even time shifts, and it doesn't have to be a ghost. It can just be something that's completely unexplainable and changing the energy of your house for whatever reason. And all of a sudden you realize that maybe there is more to the ghost story. And so how do you do psychic protection? I have had enough people say to me, they've had these experiences they can't explain. And before, they didn't believe in ghosts, and they don't have any experience with ghosts, but they would like things to calm down. And there are ways to help do that, especially when you're familiar with exactly what you're talking about. I've had people say, well, you can't take a ghost home with you. And that's absolutely not true.
That's not true.
they can go home with you. And so, but knowing that and knowing, okay, just shift the energy and they don't have to stay there. But so Are you okay with talking about that?
Sure.
Okay. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. Again, my guest is Cheryl Knobloch, and you can, the website, SKNOBLOCH88 WordPress. You can do that. And then we've talked about a couple of books. You've got several. So we'll come back and talk about more about the books. But initially, the psychic protection, because I think that right now that's a very powerful kind of tool to have if you have a guest and you would like not to. An unseen guest, a visitor. Okay? Yeah, it happens. Coming up again, a little bit more about what's happening just all over, you know, the world as people are waking up.
So you see, son, good manners are very, very important. Someday, many years from now, when you're a grown-up, you'll be a man. And when you are, you should be a gentleman. Do you want me to go through it one more time?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Exactly. Always say please, thank you, you're welcome, and excuse me. Sit up straight, hold doors open for ladies. If a door's shut, then knock first. Don't burp, don't swear, don't speak with your mouth full, don't reach across people's plates, keep your elbows off the table.
What table?
And don't interrupt. While we're at it, don't stare, don't use foul language, don't call people names, but do remember people's names. Always share your toys, play nice, and cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze. On the bus, give up your seat to anyone who has trouble standing. Bottom line, treat others the way you'd like to be treated. Got it?
Got it.
And stop picking your nose.
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2 minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
Today might be the day I drop out of school. Today could be the last day I try. My parents alone can't stop me. My friends can't even stop me. But you might be able to. With United Way, you could tutor me, be my mentor, or volunteer to just read with me. If someone had helped me earlier, I might not be struggling. And studies prove that kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. There are tons of ways people like you can help kids like me stay in school. And United Way is calling for you to be one of them. Because it takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between me becoming one or the other could be you. Make me a success, not a statistic.
Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck as a gift to Dave 2037, so he can spend it on things like anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman. Something cool like that. I think Dave 2037 deserves it. He worked hard. What are you getting Steve 2037?
I guess I was thinking Steve 2037 would just fend for himself.
Well, all right. But don't expect to be borrowing my anti-gravity boots.
You want to have money in your future? You got to start saving now. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
Hey, let's just hope Steve 2037 doesn't get his hands on a cold time machine, because he is going to come back here and knock some sense into you.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
My guest is a certified Reiki master, intuitive counselor, animal communicator. Cheryl Knobloch is also on WordPress. That's where I've got her blog up in front of me right now with several books. And the one that we started with was I knit blankets for squirrels, or I make blankets for squirrels, or I create fun stuff for squirrels.
Yes, I knit blankets for squirrels.
Okay. See, that's the name of the book. And all you just, yes, I do. I really do. And it's really cute. I mean, that was, I just thought, what a fun project. And then, of course, you have those wonderful little personalities to play with, too. And
find me on Amazon. I have all my books listed there. I've written a number of fairy tale books, a Civil War book, and books about my paranormal work and my animal work as well.
Yeah, there are several. And you have some art that you add to that. You have the artwork.
Yes. I have an online gallery page at Zenfolio. It's called Cheryl Knobloch Willow fine art prints. I make paintings. I do photography. I do pet portraits. I'm easy to find. If they're on Facebook, they can easily find me, and they can find links there to everything I do.
As long as you keep the woman in green up for a little while, if just let me, if you're listening, the woman in green, this is, it's a really cute little video, and it talks about a woman who changed her life. She liked color, but then she started just gradually gravitating to the color green, and her husband's okay with it too, but every possible shade of green, her hair is green. It's just, it's delightful because
it's
she's such
chakra.
A,
she spreads
yeah,
joy.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know how long that'll be there, but that's one way to find you right now, the lady in green. Okay, now we were going to talk about doing protection. First, I wanted to mention real quick, because I was saying all over the world things are happening. People are waking up. There's this is called Board Camp Crystal Mine in Arkansas. And it's the folks who have this mine didn't believe in ghosts. They weren't really looking for ghosts. But all of a sudden, they have this unexplained paranormal activity at the mine. They even shut down the mine a little bit to kind of investigate and explore it. And from not having any prior knowledge, any interest, then all of a sudden being kind of bombarded and open to this, they've had to learn along the way of what's happening, and they are continuing to learn. So if anyone who's listening to this has that same kind of all of a sudden, good grief, this is front and center, I didn't ask for it, but it's here. There are some things that we can do in terms of psychic protection to kind of calm things down so that you don't have to be overwhelmed, bombarded, and intimidated by the extracurricular activity that all of a sudden has decided to visit your life. Does that make sense, Cheryl?
It could be the power, though, of the crystals in that mine. You know, one of the things about Gettysburg that makes it so powerful is that the crystals are a component in the soil. I have crystals lying, I mean, I can walk around my yard and just see quartz crystals. So it could be that just the power of those crystals, the energy there, that's amplifying it, you know?
And that, I agree. That's what we were talking about. I actually spoke to one of the lady who's a co-owner on that, and they have a video up that shows a levitating rock, and whether, you know, they say it's legit, they say people have seen this, they don't have any explanation for it, but rock energy is real. This is,
oh yeah,
it's something that I've programmed a crystal before with healing work, and 6 or 8 months later I went back, picked it up, and I thought, that's the exact sentence I heard that I had put in. I totally forgot about it, but it was still there. So these kinds of things, just because we're not familiar and we don't know about them, doesn't mean they aren't possible. They don't exist.
Right.
So yeah, I think you're right with the energy of the space, and it's an amplifier. When you go into a space and you have been into, like, that hospital, if something tries to attach to you, mm-hmm. how do you shift and just disengage from that?
Well, I always tell it's people nowadays, they think it's fun and, you know, let's go have fun going ghost investigation. It's not all fun and games. I mean, you have to learn to protect yourself. You have to ground yourself, surround yourself with light. You have to learn about protection, learn about if you believe in religion, you might believe in spirit guides or as angels or Blessed Mary or Jesus. If you believe in spirit guides, they don't have to be religious. They could just be spirit guides that have been with you, some from the time you're born, some change during life, but there are guides that help you, protect you, sort of like a bouncer at a bar. You can call on them to keep anything from coming into your aura. I mean, you have an aura around you, an aura of light that something negative has to pass through that to reach you. Now, if you surround that aura with light, and I believe good overpowers evil,
mm-hmm.
but, I mean, there are times, though, that even, you know, if your defenses are down, you're caught off guard, if you're perhaps you're not feeling well, things can penetrate and overtake you. I've had it happen to me where, you know, it's taken a while to replenish myself afterwards. So, I mean, you have to just learn ways. There's meditation, ways of grounding that you can just anchor yourself, that you're grounded to the earth. This way you'll be harder to be impressionable. Your mind will be anchored. In other words, you won't, things won't influence it as much, is the easiest way of putting it. You can carry the crystals, the gemstones. As I said before, there are some that you can carry with you that are very protective. Different people use different methods. I mean, some people carry rosary beads. Some people believe in holy water. Some people believe in saging their house, cleansing their house with sage or using essential oils. There's different methods that you can cleanse a house if you feel something negative is in there.
A lot of this, I think, has to do with belief. It is so incredibly powerful that is discounted that it doesn't make any difference if you don't believe it. But from my experience, if I believe something, I add an extra cord to it that gives it more power. When I believe something and I'm truly, you know, working with that, that helps give me almost, it's a safety net and it's a barrier, and it solidifies whatever I am working with a foundation. I've had instances where one time I went into a house because somebody said, hey, you know, I think they're going to sell the house. Go in there and see what they want for it. Well, I was very naive at the time, and I went in the middle of this event where the person had just died. And it was the family, and they were divvying up things and kind of going through all of the possessions. And I walked in, and I got slammed with a headache that took me 4 hours to get over.
Oh, yeah. I've gone home and been sick with, like, flu-like symptoms for days after, like, certain instances. It affects you different ways. I mean, there have been buildings that I've walked in Gettysburg where I felt the pain of the soldier who died, and the pain has been unbearable. And yet, when I make it out into the street, it just dissipates. It's gone.
It's gone. But that's another thing. That's why I wanted you to talk about some of this too, because if for a neophyte, going in and thinking, oh my gosh, I'm having a heart attack, or because they're not used to dealing with this kind of activity, this event, these physical symptoms, and if you don't buy into it and think, oh, I'm having a heart attack, then it passes. But once you start getting more dramatic about it, more reactionary and more anxious, then you set that, whatever it is, intent, that action into, you integrate it, you take it on. And this is a way to avoid that, to understand this is temporary. This is something trying to give me information. They're trying to impress upon me what happened to them. And as long as I just let that be a message and not a symptom of my own issues, then I can pass out from under it. Does that make sense?
Right. And then in those instances, call upon whoever your guides, call upon, if you believe in religious saints and angels, call upon them to help you, to take it off of you, to lift that feeling.
Belief is huge. Belief is huge. There are houses that I have worked on. One of the interesting things that the energies did there was take all the religious icons off the wall. And I said, what's that about? They said, well, they don't believe it anyway, so why are they on the wall? That might be a problem. But that was it. They thought by putting these crosses and things on the wall, that would keep the spirits in that house, that would, you know, either scare them away. And they're like, they don't believe in them anyway. And so that was why all the religious icons were being put back on the floor and tossed around, because they were calling their bluff, basically.
You know, quite the contrary. A lot of spirits in a particular time in our history remained earthbound because they did believe so strongly, and they worried that they would not be worthy of going to heaven, and were worried about repercussions. It was because they had a strong faith in what the religious doctrine told them about, you know, heaven and hell. And if you sinned on this earth, you would be going to hell. A lot of them, I mean, belief played a strong part in a lot of spirits lingering here.
Well, that's a fear of crossing over, because I know I'm going to be judged. I have things that I'm not proud of, and so I'm better off staying. Yeah, I've had to talk a few off the ledge.
Yeah. I mean, in Gettysburg, a lot of the fellas probably killed a lot of people. You know, imagine the guilt on them, worried about, am I going to go to heaven now after I've killed all these fellas? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. when you see people, for you as a medium and an intuitive, what are you, what is the strongest? Is it a sense, a hearing? Is it,
it varies. It comes in all different ways. It varies. I've sensed them. I've smelt fragrances. I've heard them. I've seen them. So it comes in many, many forms.
Okay. Yeah. That's the thing I get too. It just depends on what's happening.
Yeah.
For people who are wanting to have a session with you, you say you do this, they just email or connect with you through your website?
Right. They can always get me through Facebook. I have a website of my Reiki work, which is www.briarrosereiki.com. That is my Reiki work. That is my animal communication work.
Okay. And then now you have, there's another blog here, Walking Among Ghosts, and I didn't.
That was stories about that focus on Gettysburg. Yes.
Okay. Okay. So anyway, from what I have seen, there's so much information for people to really check out on your website. A lot of it has to do with the animals. What is your favorite? What do you enjoy working with?
Oh, so the animals, no, there's no question. The animals, yes.
And I know people want to know, sometimes it's not about crossing over, but just, is my pet okay with how I treat them?
Well, and sometimes when people come to me when they've rescued an animal and they want to know, you know, what's happened in his past, the animal will bring feelings of sadness and abuse, but never any harboring of ill will to the humans who did it. They don't carry that. I mean, humans carry that in their energy, but animals don't. Animals are very, very forgiving. They hurt like us. They grieve. They carry sorrow, but they don't carry that
vendetta, revenge.
Yeah, it's
ill will.
Different energy. It's a nice energy. I love connecting with them because the energy is just so much purer and nicer than human energy. It really is.
Well, to me, it's light and vibrant, and it's that there's an altruistic kind of a almost like we're the little brother, little sister, and they're working with us to get us over all of our drama.
Yeah.
So there are, what is the most unusual case? Do you remember offhand in terms of working with somebody's pet?
There was a woman who came to me, and she had a German Shepherd. This is when I used to have a Reiki practice back in the days when Reiki was just very coming in. People didn't know about it at all. I was one of the first ones to open a Reiki office, and she brought this German Shepherd to me. She couldn't walk anymore. She would carry this heavy German Shepherd. My office was on the second floor, and she would carry it up to my office. And the Reiki was helping. The Reiki helped her mobility. And I got very close to this woman and her dog, so much so that she had to go away to visit her mother, and she made me come to the home to help with the person who was taking care of this dog to visit her.
Yeah.
And I would tell her that this dog, for some reason, was always showing me a cemetery. I said, and she would say, I don't understand this. I don't know what you're trying to tell me. What, you know, she was very skeptical.
Yeah.
And eventually the dog did pass away, and she came to see me, and she said, you know, this dog was my life. She said, I lost my young, she wasn't old, she was a young woman. She said, I lost my husband years ago when this dog was just a puppy. And she said, I never had the heart to go visit his grave.
Oh.
Until, she said, after the dog died, she said, I went to see his grave.
Uh-huh.
I said, you know, that dog kept telling me that this woman's hurt had to release this hurt. She had to go to this cemetery, to this gravesite. And I understood how this dog had cared so much for this woman that was trying to tell me, please let her visit this grave. And that always stuck with me. It was such a profound experience that this dog tried to convey to her. And after that dog passed, she finally realized what it was that this dog tried to tell her.
Well, I mean, that gave me goosebumps. Just that strong connection, that heart connection. The dog knew mm-hmm. what needed to be healed. And yes. even if it didn't happen while the dog was around, the message got across. The message was conveyed.
Yes.
Basically, the dog carried the message, and she was able to address it later on and realize. I think our pets do things like that for us in ways that we aren't always going to know.
Another time, funny story, I had a veterinarian come to me with her dog. And this dog was a puppy mill dog that was just a ball of fear. It took her several visits. The dog would hide in the corner. And, you know, every dog is different. It takes some take one visit, some take several. But the dog would crouch under the office chair, finally would come around, little tiny little thing. And she said, you know, I see there's something to this Reiki. She said, animal communication, I don't know. She said, how about it? She says, I'll ask you a question. You tell me what the dog is telling you.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay. So she said, what's her favorite treat? So I got from the dog, I said, gee, I said, this doesn't seem right, but I'm going to say it anyway, because I've learned at this stage, always trust what comes, even though you think it might be strange.
Yeah, right.
So I said, this can't be a veterinarian's dog. So I said, hot dogs. The vet looked at me. She said, oh, my God. She said, I buy those little baby jars of the meat sticks that look like hot dogs, and she absolutely loves them. So after that, she said, she says, anything else you want to tell me? I said, where's the blue elephant? I said,
she said, oh, her toy.
Elephant. I said, she said, elephant? She says, I don't. She says, I have a statue of an elephant in my house. I says, no. I said, where's the blue elephant? She says, I don't know where this blue elephant is. So they left. They went down the steps. They went to their car. A couple minutes later, I hear somebody running up the stairs out of breath. And she said, Cheryl, she said, I take her to work with me. There's a crate in my veterinary office. Hanging in that crate is a little blue elephant. She won't let anybody touch it. So she said... From then on, she said, I believe. She says, I totally believe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it happens. I've had so many experiences like that. Really wonderful things that they will tell to their owners. But I said, I couldn't believe. I said, a vet was giving her little dog hot dogs. I said, I'm going to tell her.
Well, you know, when you're spoiling them, it just happens. It happens. And that's a thing too. Sometimes those kinds of things, they're so unpredictable. And that's why I wanted to talk with you, because everybody does this differently. There's no perfect way to be an intuitive or a medium or clairvoyant. There's no perfect way. It's your way. And so if you're listening, these are tips and things that you can kind of figure out, okay, will this work for me, and try. When I've dealt with animals, I remember one telling me that her person liked to sing to her. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, your dog says you sing, and you make up songs and put her name. And mm-hmm. she says, I absolutely do. And she was just floored. But I wasn't even trying to listen to the dog. I just kept hearing this voice saying, she sings. And I'm like, okay, I guess maybe I should say so. I was a little bit, I was not sure how she would take it. But she was just so thrilled that the dog really enjoyed it. And the dog was, you know, kind of saying, that's what's the whole thing. She wanted her mom to know that she really thought that was fun. And that was her favorite thing to do when they put her name in the song. So this stuff is, people, it's more accessible than I think.
I've written a book, The Voice in Their Hearts. I teach basic animal communication for anybody to pick up the book and practice. I mean, anybody can do it. It's just simply trying. I think the most important thing, like you say, is belief and confidence that you can do it. Everybody talks to their pet every day, whether you know it or not. They're receiving thoughts from your own thoughts all the time. So you're talking with your pets every single day.
It doesn't even have to be out loud. They're just, they are following. Now I'm on your page, and this is where you've got several books listed. These are The Voice of Their Hearts, mm-hmm. 10-Legged Journey, The Returning Ones, which was the medium one, the Enchanted, and then The Reenactment. This must be the Gettysburg
right.
Reenactments.
Right.
Okay, right. Reenact. Strength of a Lion, Soul of a Lamb. So all these books are here. And so there's just so much. Which one is the pet communication one?
The pet communication is The Voice in Their Hearts. I also have Bird Song Barks and Banner, which tells the story of my pet rescue and all the rescues I've rescued throughout the years. My 10-legged journey is a very poignant book. It covers, I lost 4 really beloved pets in the space of a couple of years. Oh. Due to illness, cancers, I had to euthanize them. And it's my journey through grief. And it's not just, it's not a book of only sadness and tears. It's a book of laughter, too. And if anybody who's undergoing this grief, it's a book to help you through it, to really realize that they do continue on. Their energy lives on. They're not beside you in a physical form, but they are still beside you in spirit. And it's based on all the losses that I endured. All the pictures on the cover are all the pets that I lost in that short space of time. It was a very, very hard period for me. And I think writing helped heal my heart. And I hope the book heals others.
Yeah, these pictures are just adorable. The little Pomeranian looking at a collie. And then you've got the fairy on the front. Is that your drawing?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. See, part of this, you're very creative too. You know, it's just wide open with all of this intuition and just following your heart and letting it show. When you are, you know, advising somebody who's wanting to do this, what would you say to start out or to, you know, to affirm that they're getting the accurate information?
Well, in my book, I have a little journal in the back and I tell to just take notes. The most important thing is confidence. And if you receive something, let that first thought be the one. Because if you sit there and try to analyze, you'll pick up 20 different thoughts from your pet that they're all wrong. It's that first thought that you receive that's usually the true one. If I sat here and tried to analyze hot dogs is wrong, and I'll try to think, well, let me think of this. Let me think of this treat. Let me think of this. All those would be wrong. So it's the confidence, it's realizing that what comes in at first is usually the true message that they want you to receive, and keep practicing. Don't force it. If you have a pet of your own, you pick a time when it's the both of you in a quiet spot. You don't pick a time when they're eating, when they're playing, just a time
that's the thing. Once you start pause and start thinking, then your mind, the logical mind, is going to fill in the blanks, and that's not intuition.
That's right.
Okay. So on your page on Facebook, it's just Sheryl.Knobloch.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who wants it, I just picked it up so I could see the green lady again. Sorry. I love her. She just makes me laugh.
The easiest way would be on Facebook to find me, or on Amazon. If you just type in my name, it'll bring all the book links to it. The Facebook page has my website links, my blog links, it'll also have my photo and painting gallery links on it. And any book that you purchase, I have all the links on the back cover so that if they buy a book on Amazon, they'll have all the links there on it as well.
Did you put your patterns on for those blankets?
You know, I've been asked that several times to do that. I'm thinking about it. I've been asked... I've been asked to have a tutorial on how to make a squirrel blanket. Never in a million years would I have thought, gee, I'm going to have a tutorial on knitting a squirrel blanket. But that's just the universe brings you things that, it's...
Okay. Well, for anybody who wants to knit, this would give you a way to make something practical. It's not a pot holder, but it's practical. And a squirrel could use it. So I think it'd be just delightful. And children of all ages would appreciate it.
It's great. I mean, it's a great way to teach. If you have a kid, my grandchildren enjoy it. Just to teach them kindness, taking care of them. And there's so much evil and cruelty in this world, you know, that kids are exposed to. If you just the joy of taking care of birds and squirrels in your yard is a great way to teach them compassion.
And appreciate, to appreciate the value that every single animal, every single insect, every single being has here on some scale. I really, we got to go. I really appreciate your time. And I was so glad. It's like, yay, this is going to be so fun. I'm glad you did that. I'm glad you're not worried about it. It's just like, come on. It's more fun. It's more joy. And I don't think you could ever have too much of that.
Well, it's been very nice talking to you too, Wendy.
Thank you. Okay. And so if you're listening, connect with Cheryl on Facebook or look up the name of the books and, you know, be waiting. Stay tuned for the upcoming pattern of how to make squirrel blankets. All right, you're going to do that, aren't you? Hey, thanks for listening. I appreciate your time. And whatever you're doing, remember, keep it fun, keep it light, stay curious. There's so much going on, and now's a great place to investigate and explore. See ya.